All right, it is good to be.
Is my Bible up there? A preacher's lost his Bible.
No, sir.
I'll find it. Oh, we've got plenty in the pews.
That's bad going hunting with your gun unloaded, ain't it? It is indeed an honor, Brother Jim, and all the folks here. Thank y'all so much for putting up with me this week. And as I told you, and if you think I'm joking, you can ask my wife. She really appreciates y'all getting me out of the house. And it has been an honor and a pleasure to be with you. I know I'm the least of all, but I have indeed had a wonderful time. And thank you for your attendance, your attention, your participation, and most of all for putting up with old country boy and making him feel at home. Two things real quick. I forgot the date, but in October. It is the Monday night following the fourth Sunday, whatever day that is. We will be in revival at Branch Chapel. We'll have homecoming on the fourth Sunday in October, and then our revival starts on Monday night. We got a fella that... He's tall, he's big, and he's ugly as sin, but he's a good preacher. And I was his pastor when he was 9 years old, and so he's coming to preach for us. I won't tell you how many years ago that was, but we're looking forward to that. And to Brother Johnny Price, he sings with King's Messengers. And next time y'all sing at the church, I expect to hear that yodeling song. Would anybody like to yodel? I want to teach you how to yodel. I can do it in less than 30 seconds. You ready? Knock, knock. Little old lady. Your time's coming. All right. I want to share one story with you, and I know this is the last night, food and fellowship hall, and I'm not going to hold you long, I promise. We'll be out before 10 o'clock, I promise. The story was that there was a revival that went on in a church, and it ran for 3 weeks. 3 weeks straight. And there was a little old lady that was there, and she carried her grandson with her every night. Her grandson, Billy. The last night when it finally closed, the pastor said, "Aunt Minnie, how'd you like the revival?" She said, "Oh, preacher, I'm just filled up. I am so full." And he looked down at the little boy and said, "Billy, how'd you like it?" He said, "Well, I'm just like my grandma. I've had a belly full of it too." So, I hope you hadn't had a belly full yet, but just hang on for a few more minutes. In the book of Ezekiel, the 37th chapter, I always hate to see the last night come because I always wonder whenever I leave, did I do everything that God told me to do? Did I preach the message God told me to preach? Did I wait as long as He told me to wait? And I know that I may never pass this way again. We don't never know what's going to happen in our life. But this much I can tell you. If I never meet you again this side of eternity, there's another meeting place where God's children will all gather. Amen. And folks, there we'll never be separated again. And that's my heart's desire tonight more than anything else. Ezekiel chapter 37, very familiar passage of Scripture. Starting at verse 1. Ezekiel 37, 1. "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out into the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and skin and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say unto the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they might live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. I want to ask you a question tonight. It's a two-pronged question. First of all, if you're here and you're not a Christian, and you know that you're not prepared to meet God, I want to ask you, how alive are you tonight, really? How alive are you? And if you are a Christian, I want to find out how much of God's life is in you tonight. God's life. I read with some interest over, you all heard about the Good Samaritan. It's the only place in the Bible where it said that the man was beaten and was half dead. Have you ever thought about a lot of Christians is kind of like that? They're kind of half dead. They're not really dead, but are they really alive? I heard a story of a man, they died in church one Sunday, and they called the ambulance to come get him and said they took six people out of the church before they found the right one. Now, just how much life is in us? If somebody was to accuse us of being a Christian, could they have enough evidence by the life we live to convict us tonight? Now, I want you to notice this. The Bible said, first of all, that the Lord took him and placed him down in the midst of a valley, and it was full of bones. And he said that they were dry bones. In other words, they'd been dead a while. They had been out there, and folks, they were bleached out by the sun. And these old bones, they were just scattered everywhere. At one time, there was an exceedingly great army. But now that army had died, and they were killed, and they were just laying there, the bones. And over a period of time, they scattered. I want you to know something tonight, folks. If you're not a Christian, the Bible says that you are dead in your trespasses and your sins. In other words, you may be breathing, you may be walking, you may go over to the fellowship hall, you may eat, but spiritually you're dead. There's no life inside of you. Everybody has a place in their heart that nothing can satisfy but the Spirit of God. You can go out, you can get just as drunk as you want to, you can get just as high as you want to, you can run off with whoever you want to, you can laugh all that you want to, you can tell all the dirty jokes you want to, but honey, I want to tell you, there comes an end to the laughing, there comes a time that you have to get sober, there comes a time when you dry out, and there comes a time whenever you're by yourself and you're so alone and you just can't hardly stand it. And if you're that way tonight, according to the Bible, you're dead. Now let's get around to the church. You remember a time whenever the church was alive? You remember a time when people used to shout? Yeah, they had something to shout about. Y'all remember before they had padding on the pews and they had these nice fancy pews? You remember them old slat boards that you used to have to sit on? You prayed the whole service. God, don't let nobody move. And somebody would move, and by that time you'd say, yes, Lord. You had life in you. But now, folks, we come to church and we come and we get to our seat, we sit down and we say, God, now here I am. If you want to bless me, go ahead, but I'm not going to do anything to make it happen. I'm not going to prepare before I come, and I'm just tired, I'm ill, I'm disgusted, and Lord, I really don't like most of them here, no how, so I just, here I am, bless me, good. And we wonder why there's no spirit. We wonder why there's no power. We wonder why there's not much going on in the church. Well, folks, it's because we are like the man that the Good Samaritan met. If you're not careful, in the Laodicean church, the Bible said that there wasn't neither cold nor hot, but we're just lukewarm. We're still in the way, but that's about it. We're in the way. So what's going on? He said there was in the valley. Secondly, I want you to notice this. He said, he asked the question, can these bones live? If you're not a Christian tonight, you say, well, God really saved me. I'll make you a promise. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, if you'll humble your heart, you'll come down to this altar, you'll ask God to forgive you, you'll accept him by faith, and if he don't forgive you, I'll close that Bible, I'll go home, I'll never walk back into a pulpit again. I'll make it a little plainer. If you come down here tonight and you ask God to forgive you, I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. Honey, if you'll come down here and sincerely ask God to forgive you, if God does not save you, then God is a liar. Because he said he would. And he said that he would keep his promises, honey. You bring it down here, he'll save you. He'll change your life. And then when you think about the church, we wonder, can the church live again? Can the church, we're talking about revival. Can it be revived? Oh, yes, you know, I'm revived. You know what? Revival is not inside the church, folks. Revival is when you leave. We come in here to worship. We go out there to serve. If you get it in here, it's going to show out yonder. And when the world looks at us and they say the church, I heard a man on television last night and he said, listen, why some of the people today actually believe that we're getting close to the end of time and that Jesus is going to come back and take his church out of here. And he said, these people are foolish, idiot fanatics. And I thought, if that's true, I'd rather be an idiot for Jesus than a professor for the devil anytime. Now, hadn't you? Because there's coming a day, folks, when we're going to be on the winning team. Can these bones live? Can the church be revived? Sure it can. And how many does it take? One person. One person. You see, when the fire revival begins on the day of Pentecost, whenever the fire fell, oh, we don't like talking about Pentecost. Well, bless your heart, you're going to talk about it not. When the fire fell on the day of Pentecost, did you know there's something about fire? First of all, it is cleansing. It will clean up. Secondly, it's consuming. And it will get all of you. And thirdly, it'll put you on the move, won't it? Amen. So can these bones live? Yes, he can. Then notice this. He said, prophesy. Why are you here tonight? God is saying there comes a time in your life when you have to make the move. Did you know he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, woman, boy, and girl will open the door, I'll come in. In other words, there comes a time when you got to answer the door. There comes a time whenever you hear that gentle knocking, when Christ is speaking to your heart and he says, listen, this is the moment, this is the time, and that's the moment when you're supposed to move. You say, well, Terry, listen, I'm afraid of what people will say. Honey, I hate to inform you, but they're already talking about you. You just don't know it. And if they're going to talk about you, why not give them something good to talk about? Why not let them say, well, listen, that's kind of a fanatic old fella. Folks, I want to tell you, I want you to know that Christ said to the prophet Ezekiel, he said, listen, it comes time now for you to do your part. You got to prophesy. You got to tell them. Now, God had the power. God could have done it without him saying a word. But the message was, listen, it's time now that you've got to do your part. So God is saying to us tonight, if there's ever been a time when the church needs to do their part, it's now. Because we look around us, folks, and the Bible said in the last days there'd be a great falling away, and it didn't only mean that people didn't want to come to church anymore, it also meant that people would fall away from listening and doing what the Word of God said. So tonight, if you're not a Christian, God's ready, willing, and able to save you, but you got to make the move. You got to do something. You got to ask Him into your heart. Listen, folks, all you've got to do is ask. You don't have to beg. You don't have to plead. You don't have to cry. You don't have to carry on. All you got to do is say, Jesus, here I am, a broken person. God, I know I've messed up, but I'm sorry of my sins. I ask You to come into my heart. I ask You to save me. And with all the faith that's within me, I accept You as my Savior. And by faith, I'm a child of God, and I'm on my way to heaven. Had a young man come to me one time and he said, Terry, I got saved. I said, well, did you cry? He said, no. I said, well, did you holler? He said, no. I said, when God saved you, did you get up and run? He said, no. I said, well, how do you know you're saved? He said, because I did what the Bible said I had to do. How about that? Isn't that what God asks us? Just do what I tell you to do. So He said, prophesy. And listen, church, if we're ever going to accomplish what God has for us, He said, it's time for you to stand up and speak out and tell the world that He's coming back. Now, let's go on down one more. Or two or three, four. I forgot where I'm at. Then He said this. He said, I'm going to speak to you. And then He said, the sinews and the muscles are going to come over. In other words, He said, you know, some people think when you get saved, they're perfect. Some people think when you get saved, you got it made. Honey, you've just got in a battle. Listen, we are fighting against the powers of darkness. We were in a church in Kinston one night. My wife's with me, and I'm so glad to have her and my grandson and some more of the folks from Branch Chapel with us tonight. And whenever we were pastoring in Kinston, we were there. It wasn't Sunday night, and there was a lady sitting on about the second or third seat on my left, and she was kind of odd. Now, she made me look normal, so you know she was kind of strange. And all of a sudden, she just fell over in the seat and started uttering things that was... It was scary. All of a sudden, there was a coldness went over the church. Just like somebody had just turned on the air conditioner in the middle of the winter. And it was so cold. And I told the people, I said, people pray. Nobody went to her. Nobody said anything to her. Everybody began to pray. And in about 2 minutes, she sat up. And folks, I want to tell you, you may not believe this, and you may think that this is old-fashioned, but honey, the Bible teaches us that there are demons and devils that we have to contend with. And honey, I want to tell you, they are real. And the Bible says that we're to try the spirits, plural, to see which one is right. The devil has a counterfeit for everything that God has. It looks like it. It sounds like it. And if you don't know what the Word of God says, the Bible says before the end of time, even the very elect would be lost. That's why we need to get back to the Word of God. That's why we need to study. He said, listen, prophesy to them. And all of a sudden, the sinews and the veins and the muscles started coming on those bodies. Once you're saved, folks, listen, you're not finished yet. I want to tell you, God made this world in 6 days. Now, you know, if you don't believe the creation story, that's your problem. But I want you to know, in 6 days, He created this world. He rested on the seventh, and He said it was all good. I want to tell you, He's been working on me for about 45 years, and He ain't finished yet. So maybe He hadn't got as much good to work with that He had when He's building the world or whatever. But as long as I'm here, we are to grow, we are to change, we are to mature, we are to be transformed from what we were unto what God wants us to be. And it's a battle. Anybody thinks when they get saved, all they got to do is sit down and rock along to glory? Honey, I'll tell you, you might get in the door. But so many people's got just enough religion to get them into heaven and not enough to make them enjoy the trip while they're going. Honey, I'm going to tell you, if I'm going on a trip, I'm going to have fun. If I'm going to do anything, I'm going to have a little bit of fun. And when I preach, I'm going to have a little bit of fun because, folks, listen, God's got a sense of humor. If you don't believe it in the morning when you first get up, go look in the mirror. Now, bless your heart. So He said, here they were, here's all these bones. Now listen, let me go back just one step. The Bible said that there became a shaking. We'd be scared to death if there's a little shaking, wouldn't we? Oh, Lord. Don't ruffle the feathers and don't rock the boat. Don't get people excited. Bless God, they'll think we're wholeness. Wouldn't it be great if somebody thought we had a little something, wouldn't it? A dying chicken moves occasionally. They kick every now and then, don't they? Ooh. Now listen. The Bible said he spoke and the bone that was way over yonder, the foot bone that was over yonder that some dog had picked up and gnawed on, and the leg bone that was way over yonder, all of a sudden the Bible said the bone started coming back, bone to his bone. The Bible says that the church is to be a body that's fitly joined together. In other words, folks, everybody has a job. Everybody has a talent. I can't yodel. I'm not a good preacher. I'm not a good singer. I'm not a deep Bible scholar. But honey, I'm pretty. Use it for God, whatever you got. Listen, I want you to know, God didn't expect you to be anybody else other than you. God wants you to smile. God wants you to get excited. God wants you to use what he gave you and join together. And it's if this foot and this leg bone will come together, then folks, I'll tell you, then you'll have a church that can do something. But when the foot's over yonder and the head's over yonder and the back's over yonder, you can't accomplish a thing. But when we all come together, we can do what God wants us to do. Let me share one thing with you. One Sunday morning, he worked this out with some fellas. I told them we was going to sing a song. And we did. We were going to sing Amazing Grace. There was four of us. Lady got up to the piano and she started playing. We started singing. Every one of us, because this was pre-planned, started singing on a different verse. Right in the middle of it, I said, you just wait a minute. I ask y'all to sing with me. You sing what I want to sing. Well, I don't like that verse. I want to sing this one. The other said, well, I'm not singing that one. And so we were just bickering back and forth between all of us. You see, we were all on the same song, but we were on different verses. So many times when we come to church, we may be on the same church, but we're all going our own little separate ways. And God wants us all to get together and get on the same verse, on the same pew, and move forward for Jesus. So the bone came to his bone. That little shaking going on. I told you earlier in the week about the rock and roll, didn't I? This was shaking. There was a whole lot of shaking going on then. There's a lot of bones. And I'll tell you what, they all got together. And then, folks, listen, the sinews and the veins and all got over them. And then all of a sudden, here came the muscles. Here came the skin. And the bones were dead. The Bible speaks of having a form of religion, don't it? Does the Bible speak about looking like the real thing? Didn't the Bible say that over in the Laodicean church that you know that they had the appearance, they had the church, they had the service? And I'll tell you what, I don't know how it is here, but bless God, we got so steeped in tradition, we're going to sing two songs and have a prayer if it kills everybody every Sunday. Now change it if you want to get something stirred up. Bless God, you one Sunday morning come and have preaching for the Sunday school crowd and then Sunday school for the preaching crowd. You would have the biggest fight on your hand you ever had. You see, we got so bogged down in what we've done. I was pastoring a church one time and this woman wanted to get married in the church. I don't know how y'all feel about it. If it don't make no difference, I'm going to tell you anyhow. And so she was divorced and she wanted to get remarried in the church. Her husband run off and left her. And I went to the board. She came to me. I went to the board and she can't get married. Now she can attend church. She was actually, the fellow she was going to get married, they were attending both of them. They were paying their tithes, but they couldn't get married in the church. I said, why not? Grandpa said so. I said, Grandpa's dead. Well, he had turned over in his grave. I said, well, bless God, maybe he wants to rest his back a while. And I said, well, I'm not telling her. You go tell her. Well, I'm not telling her. Said, the church voted 100% for her to get married. But something that Grandpa said back yonder, not taking anything away from back yonder. But folks, I want to tell you, this is the day that we're living in. It's not that the Word of God has changed, but folks, I don't preach like Brother Jim. He don't preach like me, because folks, listen, sometimes we've got the same message, but we package it a little different. It does not mean that I'm right and he's wrong, or he's wrong and I'm right. It means that listen, if you want to see, look around at all the different hairstyles. Well, according to what Brother said, those of you that have hair. I'm picking that. My uncle said, the Lord is just, the Lord is fair. To some he give brains, the rest he give hair. But anyhow, that's another story. There they were, the bones covered, the flesh covered, the skin there, just as dead as a hammer. Then God said, speak to him, tell him to breathe, tell the wind to blow. On the day of Pentecost, it seemed like I remember something about a wind blowing. Y'all remember that? That they heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind. And all of a sudden, the house was filled. Honey, I want to tell you something. You remember back years ago when you didn't have air conditioners? Do you remember when you graduated high enough, you got you a window fan and you stuck it in the window? Lord, you thought you had moved uptown, didn't you? Oh, Lord. And you could get right in front of that window at night and the coolest air would come through there. And you could lay down and go to sleep. And about daylight, you'd be diving down to the foot of the bed for the cover. And cover up. Oh, wasn't it good? And you know what? You felt the breeze blowing. How long since we as a church felt the breeze of the Spirit of God blowing in our heart? How long since we felt the move of the Spirit of God to where we were challenged? We were challenged from where we're at, from the stand we've taken, that we're going to move up, that we're going to do something. You see, anything that grows changes. Anything that matures, folks, listen, it may look a little different. It may act a little different, but it's the same thing. I want you to know tonight that he said, I want you to speak to the bones. I want the wind to blow. And the Bible said they stood up an exceedingly great army. If you're not a Christian tonight, the Spirit of God is calling you and saying, this is your moment. And this may shock you for me to say this, but even more important, he's telling the church at Powhatan, this is your moment. This is your moment to stand up and let your light shine like it's never shone before. You say, well, Terry, listen, everything's different than it used to be. That's right, but I'll tell you what. Oh, Lord, when God gets in the midst, everything changes. You know what? I want you to know tonight, he said, I want you to see what they are. And all of a sudden, these fellows that had been dead, these fellows that had no life, this army that was just a bunch of bones, all of a sudden, because the Spirit of God moved upon them, they stood up an exceedingly great army. And honey, they were ready to go out to battle. How many of us have lost loved ones? Lost children? Grandchildren. How many of us want to see them die and go to hell? Well, did you know it's our job to win them to Christ? You say, well, I've done all I can. Well, then get somebody else to pray for them and join with you. The Bible said, if any two will agree as touching any one thing, you can ask whatever you will in my name, believing, and it'll be done. Get to praying. Things can change. Put legs on your prayers. Tell you this one last little story, and I'm going to try to wind it up. There was these two women. They opened up a beer joint right close to the store. And these two women decided they were going to pray that God would close it down. They prayed for 6 months. Nothing happened. One morning, one of the women called the other and said, praise God, he did it. He did it. She said, what? said, the beer joint burnt down last night. Said, praise God, nothing. It didn't look like he was going to do anything, so I set it afire myself. Folks, listen. Sometimes God wants us to do our part. Every promise of God is on the condition, you do your part, I'll do mine. Every promise. He said, ask and it'll be given. Seek, then you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened. The promises of God. He said, if you'll open the door, I'll come in. You see, folks, the promises of God, they're ours. Now let me ask you tonight, are you satisfied with your life like it is, spiritually? If you've never been saved, are you satisfied? Are you willing to take the risk of going home and dying lost? If you're a Christian, are you satisfied with your life like it is? If you never do anything else, are you prepared to meet God just like you are? If not, then Jesus said, I want you to come. I want to blow the wind of heaven on your heart. I want to change your life. And instead of being a dead soldier, I'm going to bring you back to life. And I'm going to put you on the road to glory. Tonight, the decision is yours. Sis, if you don't mind, I'm going to do a little different tonight. If you'll come, I want you to play Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound. I didn't mean to go this long. I apologize. But I'll make this quick. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. In the upper part of the state of South Carolina, there was a little family up in a little mill town. It was a husband, wife, and a little girl. She was about 2.5, 3 years old. Her hair was just as white as snow. Her daddy called her Cotton Top. And in their front yard, there was a little picket fence around it. They was poor. They didn't have a car, so every day he'd walk to work. And then in the evening, coming back, just about the time when he'd come around the last curve, he couldn't see nothing but the top of that little girl's head. And he would just look there and just couldn't wait to get there to take her up in his arms and tell her how much he loved her. One Sunday morning, she said, Daddy, will you go with me to church today? He said, no, honey, today's the only day I have to rest, so I'm not going. So he went off. She went off to Sunday school with her mother. Later on that day, he got to thinking, wouldn't it be great if I could see her little face when I round that last curve? Tomorrow's her birthday. And wouldn't it be great if I could just see her face? So he took a little board out of that fence. The next morning he got up, he went to work. Little Cotton Top's birthday. And she wanted a certain little doll. Man, he got off work a few minutes early. He went to town, had to go to 2 or 3 stores just to find it. Had it all wrapped up. In his arms, he was carried at home. When he rounded the last curve, he noticed something was different. He didn't see her. And when he got closer to the house, the neighbor come out. Now, folks, this is not made up. This actually happened. The neighbor came out and said, where have you been? We've been waiting on you. We've been hunting you. He said, what's wrong? Said, somehow or other, a little board got out of that fence and it was time for you to come home, and your little girl slipped through that and got out in the road and a car hit her, and she's at the hospital. So he took him to the hospital, and he walked in there, and there's that precious little girl laying in the bed. Her hair was no longer white, it was blood stained. The mother looked at him and said, and he walked up to that little bed and he said, "Honey, I love you." And his tears began to flow. She said, "Daddy, don't cry." She said, "Last Sunday when I went to church, my Sunday school teacher told me that Jesus is going to fix me a home in heaven. And I asked him to come into my heart, and I'm going to heaven. But Daddy, I'm sorry, I won't never see you again. But I wanted to tell you I love you." And that man's heart was broken. And that man that was too busy, too tired to go to church, he fell on his knees beside that bed and he prayed, "God, have mercy on me. Forgive me, Lord." And he stood up there and he looked at his little girl and he said, "Honey, if you get there before I do, just keep looking back because Daddy's coming." I tell you that to say this, folks. What will it take to get us to be that army that God wants us to be? What will God have to allow to happen in our life? You see, He's calling tonight. He's pleading with the church to come. He's pleading for the lost to come. He's pleading for us to be that army that will stand up and be soldiers of the cross. Tonight, if there's a need in your life, whatever it is, I'm going to ask you to come. Would everyone please stand? Brother Pastor, will you come? The invitation's given. I ask you, would you slip out right now? 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Will you sing the last verse with me now? When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God, have your way tonight. Have your way, Brother Pastor.